You're locked into The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time now to look back at this past weekend's NFL action with former Texans QB Sage Rosenfels. For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Every week we talk Texans football, but we're not going to limit it to Texans football with that, especially after, that stumbling, idiotic performance that they had, especially in the second half again. It's just so unbelievable how incompetent that offense is. We'll talk a little bit about that, but we got all kinds of NFL football to talk with Sage Rosenfels. Sage, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Good morning.
So is there any explanation, the last two games, the second half, Sage, with Tyrod Taylor, who's an experienced NFL quarterback, what the heck happens to this football team?
You know, I think it's not just the quarterback, right? It is a whole slew of things. And you can really see the issues of this football team by just some of the play calling that they go with. And early on in the game, they do some sprint outs, right? When you're a team that's calling sprint outs, we're not talking bootlegs or some sort of play action or a quarterback scrambling, but when you're actually getting the ball and sprinting out, you're basically telling the offensive line, you can't pass protect. And they don't pass protect very well, but you're literally saying, you can't pass protect, so we're going to basically minimize the field to just a half field read, and we're going to sprint out. I mean, that was one of the first plays of the game. The first couple plays of the game, they called one of those types of plays. So you know they have huge issues up front. They don't do anything, of course, particularly well. And they really struggle for whatever reason after the break on top of it. And what's really confusing is that the New York Jets are one of the simplest defenses in the National Football League. That style that Robert Saleh has. It's not a, like, we're going to try to trick you and we're going to try to run all sorts of weird fronts and blitzes and attack you. It is very much a bend, don't break. They play man-to-man. They play cover three, a little bit of cover two, and they just keep it simple. And of course, right now they don't have great players, but their hope is over time when they draft well, that defense will become good because the players know all the ins and outs of it. And so they're going against a defense that's not overly complicated, so you would think that'd be a good spot to get some easy completion, to sort of consistently move the ball, but they just make too many mistakes. They get, sacks, a 25-yard sack that Tyrod took in this game on key spots. They have that fourth and one or third and one right before the half. They run a jet sweep, which didn't really make a lot of sense to me. You know, there's like 21 seconds left in the game. They're getting close to the 50. They really don't have time for a jet sweep in that scenario. I know it's third and one, and you want to get a first down, but they got to push the ball down the field. And of course, since they're not really a play-action team, since they're in shotgun so much, it's hard to throw the ball down the field when your offensive line struggles to give you time. And so there's a myriad of things here. I don't think that the play calling was very good in this game. And obviously, when you struggle up front, at the end of the day, this sport – we love talking about quarterbacks. We love talking about receivers and running backs and the matchups on the outside with the receivers versus a defensive back. But it does come down to the lines, offensive line, defensive line. And that is a glaring weakness on this Houston Texans team, is that offensive line.
Sage Rosenfels with us. And, they made a lot of changes. One of them was Titus Howard was at left tackle. And let's face it, I mean, he looked bad as a guard, I thought, in preseason and early in the season, his rookie year. He got bounced back out to right tackle, where he played, or maybe his left tackle, where he played much, much better after he was moved there in 2019. They're back to pulling the guard crap again this year. He's not a guard. He's moved back out to tackle. But, Sage, when you look at the offensive line, this is an offensive line, even when Tunsil comes back, that is just very problematic from guard to guard. And do you see them, I mean, can you see them really executing any type of game plan without better play from guard to guard?
Listen, it does start right there in the middle. And if you talk to any offensive line coach in the league, the tackles are sort of the marquee names of an offensive line, right? Like, what are your tackles? Right tackle, left tackle. But if you want to run the football, which as you're watching teams around the NFL right now and the teams that run the football well and the teams that don't, it's less about the tackles and it's more about those interior three guys. The center guard combinations are huge in the running game. How much push do they get on those defensive tackles as they work their way up to the linebackers? Do they eliminate penetration right off the snap? Those interior three guys, when you're talking running game, those are more valuable than the tackles. And this Texans team, of course, they want to run the football. This head coach came from a team that is one of the best in the National Football League at running the football. And if you look up in Baltimore, that center and those two guards are very good players. And of course, they've got a quarterback who's the best running quarterback in the National Football League. And so you're trying to find this mix and match deal there. And my guess is that the Texans will, whether it's free agency, but definitely the draft, will need to go out there and try to upgrade those interior three guys this offseason.
Sage Rosenfeld is with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What did you think of defense? What did you think of Zach Wilson and how he played and what the Texans did against him defensively?
I thought the Texans defense played pretty well in this game. They're not the reason, that this game was lost. Of course, it is a team football game and it's both sides and special teams. But, all in all, he didn't throw for very many yards and they did run for about 157 yards. That is an issue, right? When you're playing against another team that has a rookie quarterback, you want to stop the run first and make that rookie quarterback beat you in the air. But when Zach Wilson only throws for 145 yards and has a 9.8 QBR, yeah, I think the defense did a pretty good job. But again, they gave up about 4 yards to carry, almost 5 yards to carry on the ground, giving up 157 yards. And so you got to stop the run first, make that rookie quarterback beat you, and the Texans allowed that running game to sort of control the line of scrimmage. And allow the Jets to sort of make it easy on their quarterback.
This is getting back to, I'm going to mix and match Texans and NFL right now, if you'll allow. I do think, let me stay with Texans for a second. John brought up a really interesting point yesterday. He said, let's go through the roster and find guys that we would want to have. At first he said in 4 years, I changed it to 2 years because I think that's more feasible. Who are guys on this roster you would want to have in 2 years? I'm going to change it up a little bit and say, who are core players? When I say core players, I mean guys like a Brian Cushing, D'Amico Ryans. I'm trying to go back, to when you played. But D'Amico Ryans, Brian Cushing, J.J. Watt, DeAndre Hopkins, Andre Johnson. Granted, some of these guys are pro bowlers. I get that. But who are some guys that you could see as core players, guys you build around on this roster? Can you even get to three?
That's a good question. I'm not the boots on the ground there, and I don't know how everyone is in the locker room. I mean, that's a huge part about this whole thing. What we see the players on the field and who's making plays and who's not, right? Like I see Hill, the linebacker. He seems to be consistently making plays, not always interceptions and not always tackle for losses, but he's around the football a lot. He hustles a lot. He brings a lot of energy to that defense, right? And you got running backs. You've got a slew of older guys there at the running back position. As far as the receivers, you got Nico Collins, who's a young guy. You got Jordan, the tight end, who's a young guy who, of course, made a play in this football game. But yeah, you don't have like name brand names, even guys that are young coming from college that you're like, okay, well, they're going to build their roster around these leaders. I think that's what they're searching for right now. They're searching for in the last quarter of the season, who are the guys that we want in this organization for the long haul? And I only can sort of go back to the different teams that I played on. And when I came into a situation similar to this, 2006 with Gary Kubiak, and came onto a team where they had won two games the year before. And who are those guys that Gary and the crew was trying to build around. Of course, we had a young Andre Johnson on that football team. We had a young Dante Robinson on that football team. There are certain players that they said, okay, these guys are going to be stars for us going forward. We're going to build around those guys. But one of the most important things, again, about Andre, and of course he's eligible for the All Hall of Fame, and I really hope he gets in, is the locker room or the attitude of those types of guys, right? The guys that really, really wanted to win. It necessarily wasn't just about the money. It was about winning as a team. You know, Andre wanted to have good stats, but he really cared about winning football games. And so those types of guys, you have to try to find, and this coaching staff and the front office, they got to have their ear in that locker room of like, what is going on? Who are the guys who are staying positive? Who are guys who are, just going to keep grinding away until the end of the season? And instead, we only see, Malik Collins keeps, he seems to keep making plays along that defensive line, but we only see that aspect of it. I think there's a more important aspect of the guys you want here for the future are the guys that are going to finish out this season strong, and the guys that are sort of like, okay, this season's over, this team's not very good, I'm going to be a free agent next year, I'm ready to move on, I can't wait to go to another team. And then you try to separate those guys and try to, go with those leaders of the football team who really, really want to be here and want to be a part of the solution. All these guys are a part of the problem currently. You want to try to find those guys who are part of the solution. And that is really one of the main jobs of a head coach and a general manager, is to try to find those guys. And you're right. They don't have a lot of superstars. They don't have a lot of guys you can say, okay, this guy for sure needs to be here the next couple of years. They are very thin there, they're going to be a team in flux, I think, over the next few years as they try to find the right players on this roster.
Yes, Sage just told you there are none.
Watch this. Same.
Same. I agree.
As we're going through the names, guys like J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins and Andre Johnson.
There ain't none of that.
Pro bowlers, all pros.
At one point, though.
That's back when you had first round picks. This is what happens when you trade everything away and you don't get first round picks. You don't get guys to grow with. The Rams are going to find this out very, very shortly. We'll get to the Rams here. When we get back, we start talking about teams that kind of matter right now.
Yeah.
And the Rams are one of them that I want to have a discussion with you about, Sage. When we come back, Sage Rosenfels, former Houston Texans quarterback and quarterback around the league. We discuss more of the NFL when we come back. But first, John.
My bookie.
You want to talk about you should be playing. You mean like the Rockets? Moneyline Rockets?
Oh, my gosh. Moneyline Rockets would be paying you big money right now.
As long as they play the Thunder.
The last three games. The previous 16, not so much.
Well, do they play their back-to-back wins over Thunder? Are the Thunder up next, too? Do they have a three-game set?
Yeah,
Thunder. Is it a three-game set?
Yeah, it's tomorrow night.
Okay, good.
At the Thunder tomorrow night. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, depends. If I find out if Jalen Green is still hurt. If he's still hurt, then you know what? Maybe you can bet the Rockets. Here's the deal, is if you're looking for the best odds, you're looking for any kind of an edge. You've got it. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. You've got the edge of being able to double your deposit right now up to $1,000. That doesn't happen with other bookies. It just doesn't happen. So if you're looking for a great way to play, win, and get paid, MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. It is awesome. Easy to navigate. They've got all the bets you could possibly want, and they will match up to $1,000 of this deposit that you make right now at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sage Rosenfels joining us here on the show, talking NFL football. And Sage, we had a good one, the Rams and the Packers, two teams that, quite frankly, could be there at the end. The Rams still not getting it. They don't look like the same team from early on.
You know why? Because guard to guard, they stink and they give up too much pressure.
That is true. They do give up a lot of pressure up the middle. I think Tennessee proved that. It was really, really eye-opening. But losing Robert Woods was a huge loss for them, too, I thought. You know, Odell certainly hasn't. He's got to give him a little time, and maybe he'll grow into whatever role they want him in. But Robert Woods, I think, is an underestimated loss for those Rams this year, Sage.
Yeah, that was a huge loss, and not just in the passing game, but if you watch the Rams' offense, they do a lot of runs where Woods is almost like a pulling guard or a pulling tackle or tight end who comes around and sort of lead blocks to the running back, and he's really, really good at it. And, of course, do you see Odell Beckham doing that? I mean, that's not Odell's cup of tea, and this is a very odd team. It's a team that's gone out there, and you're talking about trade away a lot of draft picks, a lot of first-round draft picks, and more to get the various players they have on this roster. And they've gone out and they've signed superstars, guys like Odell Beckham, and is not really adding up to wins right now. That Robert Woods loss is huge. Of course, you go up to Green Bay, you have three turnovers. You're not going to win a lot of games in Green Bay against Aaron Rodgers. Turn the ball over three times and only getting one on the other side of the football. And I think when everyone talks about the Rams, they love talking about the offense. And as they should, right? They went out and they gave up two first-rounders for Stafford. They got Cooper Kupp, who's leading the NFL receiving in the past. You know, Sean McVay is very much one of those names that gets thrown around there as one of the top five offensive minds in the National Football League. But they don't run the ball well. They lost two or three running backs before the season even started, so they don't run the ball well right now. And two, what's surprising is on defense, that is what's been the big surprise this year, is that defensively, they are 21st in points allowed this year. All right, they are 15th in yards allowed. Now, the Houston Texans might be excited to be only 21st in points allowed or 15th in yards allowed, but last year, the Los Angeles Rams were number one in both of those categories. They were number one in points allowed, number one in yards allowed. So, again, they've got the superstars over there with Donald, with Jalen Ramsey. But defensively, it takes all 11 guys. And not only does it take 11 guys, it takes those backups, right? It takes depth for both offense and defense. It takes depth. And this team, that's what concerns me, is it has, like, superstar talent, but it doesn't have great depth. And I think that a lot of that has to do with those first rounders and second rounders and third rounders that they have traded away over the last, two, three, 4 years. And those types of guys, they may not come in, you're a first rounder or second rounder. You may not come and be a star, but you do at the very minimum, you're a good football player and you're going to add depth to that football team. So that's one thing that they're really hurting right now. It does seem like when you watch them play, teams do try to stay away from guys like Jalen Ramsey. They try to find ways to double-team Aaron Donald up the middle, but they have other weaknesses. Who's that third corner? Who's that third? Those linebackers? That seems like teams are taking advantage of those guys who aren't great players and just sort of manufacturing ways to avoid the superstars, but taking advantage of the weaknesses of their defense.
Let's talk about the reality of, and I understand that who drafts you and where you go is very, very important. However, I do want to talk about the reality of fan excitement, players who generate excitement, quarterbacks specifically, and guys who maybe run the show. And I'm talking specifically about Zach Wilson, Trey Lance to a much lesser extent. Let's go Zach Wilson and Justin Fields versus Mac Jones. I understand Mac Jones is in a good situation. Well, we say it's a good situation. It wasn't really for Cam Newton. It wasn't a great situation. But Mac Jones has really done a much better job than I anticipated of growing as a quarterback. If you watched him in the New Orleans game, I thought he was terrible earlier in the year. But he's gotten progressively better this year. And John and I are wondering if the Patriots are the team to beat right now in the AFC.
I think they are. I think they are. I mean, they are playing the number one defense in the National Football League. And when it comes down to sort of the end of the season, into the playoffs, having a great defense is huge. It is absolutely huge. And with that quarterback who is growing. And, when it comes to draft time, and the draft will be coming up here, before you know it in May, and we'll be looking at all these quarterbacks, and in particular, the probably four, five, six guys that ESPN and everybody will be highlighting and constantly breaking down. And they'll talk about guys who can throw and guys who can run and guys who can do a little bit of both. at the end of the day, it's about throwing the football. It is. With your quarterback in the National Football League, it's about throwing the football. And Mac Jones is extremely accurate. He makes great decisions. He processes information really fast. And you can sort of see that that progression go from the beginning of the season until where they are now, where he looks extremely comfortable. And, you know, the other guys drafted, guys like Fields and Trey Lance and even Zach Wilson, people loved them because they could move around. They were playmakers. You know, they throw the ball well, but, man, look how this guy threw on the run. I mean, remember how many times we saw the Zach Wilson highlight of him rolling to his left on his pro day with no defense and throwing the ball across the field on a poster. I saw that highlight 50 times.
I know. Like, that's part. That's a regular part of the NFL game.
Right, right. Yeah, but it's not something that necessarily always matters. He can make that throw, right? Well, my question is, how do people manage football games? How accurate are they on the plays that really matter
on third down? Did you watch him against the Texans, Sage? Did you see him throw it 164 miles an hour on a 3-yard slant, on a crossing route, rather, with Elijah Moore?
I saw multiple plays. I mean, the inside slant, he's putting the heat on. He threw a flat route about 75 miles an hour. there is a nuance to this quarterback position that is not about just numbers. And I think that sometimes GMs and even coaches get obsessed with how big is he, how tall is he, you know, how does he throw the ball, you know, how does the ball come out of his hand. But there is a nuance that's sort of like, I like to call it just the it, sort of the it factor. And obviously Mac Jones has that it factor, and the other guys might be able to run the ball and buy time and those types of things to create plays for their team. But Mac Jones just straight up executes. And if you look at him, you look at Burrow from last year, who, of course, was the first pick in the draft a couple of years ago. Those guys don't run around and make plays. Those guys get the ball out of their hands because they process information extremely fast. And when they do get the ball out of their hands, they don't miss. They are really, really accurate with the football. And that's one of the reasons why those two guys, who aren't super athletic and who are first-round draft picks in the last 2 years, are leading their teams, and they're probably going to be right there deep in the AFC playoffs.
Yeah. Sage Rosenfels here on ESPN. I'm just looking over. New England is number one in the league points against. And all the good teams are up there. Buffalo's up there, Arizona, Packers, Bengals. The Broncos are actually a pretty decent team at times. What's wrong with the Seahawks? They're only giving up 20 points a game, and yet what's wrong with them, Sage?
The offensive line, you know, like it's always been, it seems like there. They just don't have anyone that can protect Russell Wilson. It does seem like Russell, over the years, he has always been this player who could run around and buy time and create things when nothing was there. And watching that game last night, it does seem like he does that a lot, and then he gets sacked, right? And, like, bad things are happening. It seems like more bad than good is happening with him, you know, running around. And they are very much struggling. And it's a lot of times it's like the key points in the game. There's a lot of times where you go back and you look at stats from a football game and you say, well, they did this pretty well and they did this pretty well, but when did they make those plays? Was it on those key third downs? Was it in the red zone? Do they turn the ball over, right? And at the wrong times, it's sort of the timing of those plays. When you're watching Seattle, they seem to have, you know, terrible timing. You know, I see that situation, by the way. I think this might be the end of the road, whether it's for Russell Wilson and or Pete Carroll, the head coach. This might be it. They've had a heck of a run up there. But Seattle looks like it might be in complete start-over mode.
Yep. That's Sage Rosenfels right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 every week right here, Tuesdays, talking some Texans and the rest NFL. Sage, as always, we appreciate it, and we will talk to you again next week.
All right, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
There is Sage Rosenfels here with us. So right now, let's talk a little bit about the Golden Nugget. Heading there over Christmas holiday, going to spend a couple of days over at the Nugget. Just going to have a great time. The rooms can't be nicer. Got a couple of rooms. Going to bring the family there. We're going to go by the pool, hang out. It's heated, so you got the lazy river, or just sit out in the sun and enjoy some nice cold Coors Lights. They got Coors Lights there. I can testify. I can verify that for you. They've also got sports gambling, which we will be doing while we are there. There will be bowl games going on. Just going to be great fun. Just can't be any better. Basketball, NFL football, all of it will be going on while we're there. Just can't wait to get there and do that. The casino is second to none. It is literally a Vegas casino, just 2 hours and 15 minutes down the road. It can't be any better. People, do I take the flight? Why do all of that when you've got everything you could possibly want at the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles, just 2 hours and 15 minutes away? It can't be any better. It's the Golden Nugget, Lake Charles.
G'day, mates. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. When I'm not playing rugby, I'm listening to John and Lance on the bench. Go Sabercats.